What I'm about to say will come as no surprise to some of you. And by some of you, I mean the ones of you who actually pay attention to the sermons every week, rather than those of you who create masterpieces with the coloring sheets that are really meant for the kids. There is a saying that every preacher learns in seminary, and that's that every preacher really only ever preaches one sermon. We may dress it up in different stories and different scriptures, but at the heart of it, we really preach the same thing again and again. One of the many reasons to love All Souls is that you get a regular variety of preachers every month, and so it just isn't that boring. But I always have this in the back of my head when I sit down to prepare a sermon. Even if I don't consciously think about it, I know it's there. And yet, as I think about it, I think I actually have two sermons that I preach. One sermon always leads to or includes our call to participate in God's mission of justice, compassion, and reconciliation for the transformation of the world. The other sermon always centers on the community and the grace-filled truth that it is through community that our lives are transformed. Our joys, when shared, are multiplied, and our sorrows, when shared, are lessened. It is perhaps because of this that I had a really hard time this week writing a sermon. I nearly always err on the side of preaching the gospel, and today's is a good one. But I kept being drawn in by the complex yet powerful story and song of Hannah, and by the end of the epistle to the Hebrews. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And then I realized, those stories are my two sermons. And so which do I choose to preach today? Well, how could I not choose God's mission, especially when it's wrapped in a story that has a woman strong in faith at its center? Oh, Hannah, what a story she tells us. Yes, she bargains with God. If you give me this, I'll give you that. Which is not a prayer practice that has ever worked for me. But she gets her son, in part because her story and his story are part of the larger story of ancient Israel and how God is transforming that community. And so when Samuel is weaned, Hannah takes him to Shiloh, to Eli, to be dedicated to the Lord. And she sings a wonderful song, which we too sang today. Listen again to part of the song of Hannah. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the weak are clothed in strength. The once full now labor for bread. Those who hungered are now well fed. The childless woman has borne sevenfold, while the mother of many is forlorn. God destroys and brings to life, casts down and raises up, gives wealth or takes it away, humbles or dignifies. God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the rulers and inherit a place of honor. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Like maybe you've heard it somewhere, only a little different? Perhaps you're thinking of the Magnificat, also known as the Song of Mary. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rest away empty. Are these songs not songs of God's mission? Do they not prophetically sing to us of justice, compassion, and reconciliation? It is significant that both of these songs come from women whose stories center on giving birth to sons that are dedicated to God. In the case of Hannah's Samuel, literally a son given to the service of God, who was raised up as a mighty prophet, an anointer of kings. And in the case of Mary's Jesus, well, literally God incarnate. Two men that radically changed the world of those around them and beyond. And yet, in the lives and ministry of both of them, it is their mother's songs that we see in action and in word, and in the process, transformation. For the ancient Israelites, who until that point had an identity rooted in the covenant tradition of early Israel, Samuel served as a priest, judge, and prophet, the chosen one by God to anoint the first kings of Israel, first Saul, and then David. But not only anointer, but critic. For it is in 1 and 2 Samuel that we see Saul choose the will of the people over the will of God and be cast down. It is in those books that we see David abuse his power through war, adultery, and murder, and be humbled by his choices. The mighty indeed were broken. And then there's Jesus, who frankly just lived his mother's song every day. And on occasion, he even copied her. You remember something we call the Beatitudes. Hear them again, listening for the echoes of Mary. From Luke, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." And from Matthew, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Hannah, Samuel, Mary, Jesus, God's mission rippling through time from the single drop of Hannah's song. And now it's our turn to participate in that mission of justice, compassion, and reconciliation. What will it be for us? And yet, all of that being said, today at All Souls, really, don't we need to hear the call from Hebrews? Are we not at a place in our ministry as a community where we are taking stock of what has come before and actively seeking new ways to live more fully into our identity as Christians and our mission as a parish? How do we provoke one another to love and good deeds? The answer to that question is as varied as the people sitting next to you in the pews, the people that make up this glorious community. For some, it's being a part of outreach and peace and justice work, such as the new healthcare forum that's been established. For others, it's through participation in small groups, whether that be Spaghetti Again or Parents in the Park. For many of you, it is through the small but powerful acts of pastoral care that you do, taking meals to those who need support, or the way the Altar Guild and Flower Team give the flowers each Sunday to people who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, or maybe just seem to need them. I know that those are only a few of the myriad ways that we provoke each other, but the thing they all have in common is that they happen in community. Our outreach has more impact when we do it together. Don't you remember last year the colossal mountain of teddy bears we had collected in front of this altar during Advent to give away to kids in foster care? Or how many lives were saved through the malaria nets we purchased with the money that we as a group collected over Lent? Are these things that you might have done on your own? Maybe. But isn't it better together? We are more joyful in our love and good deeds when we are inspired by the wisdom and support of those we gather with regularly. Who that has been fed at Lunch Bunch, both by the food lovingly prepared and the company, does not go back out into the world ready to share that love? And is not the gift of music that the choir and the angel band make for us not a reflection of their love each week in and out? Would any of us be able to proclaim God's love if we didn't first come together to share in it? Maybe, but isn't it easier together? It is the simple, graceful truth about community that when we are joyous and we share our joy, it is multiplied. And when we are in pain and we share our pain, it is lessened. We care for each other in the good times and the bad, and all the time in between. There is no maybe here. This can only happen in community, and it transforms not only our lives, but the world around us. God's mission and community, Hannah's song and provoking love and good deeds, at their heart, they are both about transformation and our call as followers of God to be God's hands and heart in the world. So maybe I really only do have one sermon after all. Or maybe you just heard two little sermons. Either way, my prayer is that at the end of the day, this day and every day, we are transformed because we know that we are loved by God, that we are called by God, and that we know God most fully when we know God together. Amen.